Commuter rail fans received some good news recently. A private train company is offering to connect Nashua and Bedford to Lowell, Massachusetts, with the promise that the towns won't be on the hook beyond the cost of maintaining a station. If you've been following commuter rail issues in New Hampshire for the past two decades, this funding scenario may jog some memories. NHPR's Todd Bookman has the story.
30 years ago, lawmakers in Maine made a decision. They said, we want a commuter train that's going to connect Portland with Boston, and we're willing to spend the money to do it. Of course, that train would have to pass through New Hampshire. Lawmakers here said, fine, you want that train, you can have it. It can make stops in our towns, but we are not going to invest in this thing. Maine was like, fine, we got this.
One,
hard wagon.
Two, three.
On December 15, 2001, the Amtrak Downeaster was christened into service. On hand to break some champagne was former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis, who was, at the time, on the Amtrak Board of Directors.
Boston is going to benefit enormously. Maine is going to benefit enormously. New England is going to benefit enormously. New Hampshire is going to have rail service. At long last, New Hampshire is being dragged into the 21st century.
All right. Dukakis just couldn't resist ribbing New Hampshire. 16 years later, there are still plenty of people who want to poke a finger in the state's eye for not funding the train.
A lot of frustration within the state of Maine about that.
This is Patricia Quinn, executive director of the Northern New England Passenger Rail Authority, which oversees operations of the Downeaster. To balance the train's books, Quinn relies on a mix of ticket revenue, federal subsidies, and each year about $2.5 million from the taxpayers in Maine. The train, though, doesn't just carry Mainers. New Hampshire's three stops in Durham, Dover, and Exeter are really popular. They account for about a third of all riders. So Quinn and many others in Maine are of the opinion that if New Hampshire citizens are benefiting, are relying on this train, well, the state's government should kick in a few bucks, too.
Hopefully, the policymakers in New Hampshire will see the value of the service to its citizens and agree to participate with us.
But New Hampshire continues to ignore that request. As a result, the Downeaster earlier this summer raised fare prices for the first time in 5 years. Most rides were increased by just a dollar, but the popular Boston to Exeter commuter train saw a steeper jump, up to $4, citing New Hampshire's lack of support. Despite what Governor Dukakis and the folks in Maine would have you believe, it's not like New Hampshire has completely ignored the train. In 2006, the state chipped in $1.6 million to help the Downeaster add a fifth daily round trip. But lawmakers in the state, especially in the Republican Party, argue there are simply smarter mass transit investments out there.
When you have 153 red-listed bridges in this state, 2,000 miles of poorly to very poorly paved roads. We haven't finished I-93. The Sarah Long Bridge just broke a couple months ago.
This is Governor Chris Sununu during a debate just before the 2016 elections.
To spend $350 million on a boondoggle project as rail, we could fix every red-listed bridge for that amount of money.
The boondoggle Sununu was referring to there is a much-debated train line that would connect Boston with Manchester and Concord, the so-called Capital Corridor. Even spending money to study its feasibility has been contentious. This idea, this belief that rail is a boondoggle, it's pervasive. Take, for example, the state's 10-year transportation plan. It's the rough sketch of how New Hampshire intends to spend its money. The current plan has zero, nothing slated for the Downeaster or any other commuter rail projects. But it does have nearly $20 million set aside for a different form of mass transit, commuter buses. C&J Bus is a privately run company. It operates routes from Portsmouth and Dover to Boston to Logan Airport and a trip to New York City. And if you've ever been a passenger on one of their buses, you may have noticed something, above the rear left wheels. The seal of the state of New Hampshire, painted right there on the bus. That's because the state has purchased 9 buses over the years, to the tune of $5 million, that C&J then operates on routes that would otherwise be unprofitable. You can think of that seal as New Hampshire saying, you can have your trains. We are going to get there by bus. Jim Jalbert owns C&J, and Jalbert says the money is a smart investment, that buses are simply the more efficient way to move people between cities in that part of the state. He admits, though, that it's not easy to rally support for buses. Trains are sexier.
It is different. It's not the same as a bus. I get that.
It's just that we live in a world that's all driven based on economics right now, and not, you know, the romantic idea of riding a train across the country.
Trains are romantic.
On a train platform in Exeter, I found Debbie Barnes of Old Orchard Beach, Maine. She relies on the Amtrak down Easter.
I visit my daughter in Greenville, New Hampshire. I don't drive, so I take the train. We meet in Exeter, and she picks me up, and we get to visit.
For Debbie Barnes, it doesn't matter that New Hampshire supports buses and Maine chooses the train. She's just trying to get where she's going, and the more options, the better. If you're a commuter in Nashua or Bedford, and a private company wants to bring a train your way, you may be thinking the same thing. Sure, why not? Especially if someone else is going to pick up the tab. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.
There's an engine at the station, and the whistle blows my name. It's calling, 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 come and get aboard the train. My baby's gone, and I'm alone to live in misery. I'm gonna call and make a reservation for me, gonna ride a blues.